Yeah, that is so true. You know, we had the coronation, and I don't know about you, but it was
riveting.
Oh, I heard even King Charles was bored. So, okay, enough about the coronation. We got a show to do here today, Keith, so let's roll with it, all right? Okay. Well, they may be in the top 10, but no one has a bullet anymore, Keith. The standard in sports radio has been for years ESPN, and if you don't mind my sports play here a little, ESPN may be on its way to a final quarter. And smaller market TV news, that may soon be history too. So lots of changes going on, and we want to welcome you to another edition of Media Insultant. It's our opinions, ideas, comments, occasionally a little insight and some helpful wisdom. In Seattle, I'm Jackson Weaver. And in sunny Southern California, my famous co-host is Keith Samuels. He's my co-host and provocateur, however.
Good morning, Jackson.
Yeah, I hope you are ready to be provocateuring today, Keith.
Hey, bring it on, baby. Bring it on.
All right. So, without commercial interruption, we would like to welcome you to the Wednesday, May 10th issue of Media Insultant. What a couple of weeks we've had here in the media space, Keith. It really has been unusual. Don Lemon gets fired at CNN. Mm-hmm. Tucker Carlson gets ousted at Fox. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here I thought Succession was a fictional story. I mean, it's just amazing what's gone on at those two places. But I thought you and I might have some ideas on lessons that could be taken from these debacles. So
okay.
I'm going to start off with, don't put your bigotry in writing. You can be a bigot. You can be an asshole. Don't put it in writing. I think that would be the first thing to do. No?
Well, I think maybe don't be a bigot. You know,
well, there.
It's just, you know, whether you're in writing or not. But hey, okay. You're right. Don't put it in writing. Okay.
Well, you can say almost anything, really, on the air, but do anything on the air that you want. Just don't be a misogynistic dickhead in the office. I mean, a lot of these guys really lost their gigs because of the things that went in office. And maybe the biggest thing, and we've all dealt with this in one way or another, don't think you're more important than the platform or the owners. You know, we've all struggled with talent that says, if I don't get my deal, I'm going to walk across the street. And sometimes, yeah, sometimes
but
it's that, okay to know, say, bye-bye.
Yeah, that didn't happen here. I think it was just about they just felt that they're, you know, they could do their thing and say what they wanted and live happily ever after. But there's always somebody a little bit higher up that says, okay, it's time to go. Thanks for
coming.
It's
time to go. It's time to go.
Yeah. And just, so I guess the takeaway is that, you know, no matter how big you are, I mean, remember, you know, Dan Rather got fired over that Rathergate deal with George Bush and his military service. I mean, even Rather got the axe by CBS back then. So there's always somebody higher up, and in this case, it might be Rupert Murdoch or the guy that runs Discovery Networks that now owns CNN. Those guys own the show. So, you know, you got to somehow kind of like bring it back to the real world, kind of reel it in a little bit and make sure that you get to keep your gig.
You do. You know, it all started, if you think about it, with Don Imus. Remember a few years ago he made that comment about the nappy-headed description of a female basketball player?
I think before that. Yeah, basketball team. And
Was it the team?
Yep, and you know, even Imus, the great Don Imus, got whacked pretty sufficiently.
So yep. Anyway, those are our takeaways, and I know that nobody in our audience is a bigot or a misogynist or a dickhead. I don't know about the latter.
Well, speak for yourself. You know, it's like, but it's old news. We're moving on.
We're moving on. Okay, you know, Keith, we don't hear a lot about Billboard magazine anymore. Remember when we were growing up in the business? Yeah. It was the journal for everything going on in the record and the radio business. And having a record on the Billboard Hot 100 chart was a very big deal. You know, and all remember all the records that were really growing rapidly had a bullet. It really was a star, but they called it a bullet. So
you'd have
a song that when I was doing record promotion, we'd talk to the radio station guys and say, hey, it's already charted at number 54 with a bullet, which means it was growing and presumably would be, top 10 very soon.
Yeah.
Well, radio's top 10 billing stations, none of them have a bullet this year. And last year, I think it's safe to say that they struggled to even hold even with the billing they had in the previous year, 2021. You dug into the numbers. What'd you find?
This is my favorite time of year. Usually it happens in like August or something, or September, when BIA finally releases its rankings of radio stations by revenue. And they list the top 10. They do hint about who was in the top 12 this year. But, you know, for a scorekeeper like me, I love this when it comes out, because as a sales guy, to know what the benchmark is in the business for the biggest billing radio stations, the radio stations that sell the most advertising or generate the most advertising revenue, is just such a big moment for me to see what happens every year on this list. But, you know, at the top, there's no change. And we'll talk about that in a second. But year to year, from 21 to 22, you know, revenue went up, I guess, about $2 million. So it's almost flat between the list, what the top 10 billers generated to what the top 10 biller a year ago to what they did in 2022. So everybody's pretty much the same. However, when you compare it to the last year before COVID, 2019, okay, radio revenues on the top 10 radio stations in America is down 18%. They're down $81 million in total revenue over 2019. Yes. So while the trades are saying, oh, radio revenue's up to $13.4 billion, and look at, you know, the stations that are up marginally in the top 10, oh, what a great job they did. Listen, all they're trying to do is scrape back to 2019, and frankly, they're never going to get back there. That was the last big year for radio. But let's talk about the individual stations. WTOP, the Hubbard-owned news radio station in Washington, D.C., the greatest sales machine in radio. $69 million in annual revenue generated by the station run by Joel Oxley, sales run by Matt Mills. These guys are in a different frickin' league. Guess what they billed in 2019, Jackson? $69 million.
They're
playing in a different league. Number two is a local station here in L.A. that you might have heard of, Kiss FM, home of Ryan Seacrest. And Kiss FM did $44 million in 2022. That's down almost $16 million from what they billed in 2019. But they're still number two. That tells you how tough the business is. If Kiss can be down $16 million from 3 years ago, or 4 years ago now, and still be number two, it's a lot worse for the guys down below them. So it's a tough putt. But with Kiss and the other LA station for iHeart was on the list. K-Big, I think, came in at number six, $33 million. Those two stations alone bill $77 million. Okay? So it shows you how important LA is for iHeart.
For
but iHeart's
iHeart,
also
yeah.
got a couple of stations in the top 10 from New York. So they've got four stations in the top 10. They've got Light 106 and they've got Z100.
In New York.
And those stations bill $68 million. So basically, those two stations in New York do what WTOP does in Washington, D.C. on its own. It's just phenomenal to see what Joel and Matt Mills do in D.C. But you begin to see on this list how important New York and L.A. are to iHeartMedia. I just mentioned their four stations on it. But also Odyssey. Odyssey's got, you know, Wins and the Fan in New York. But at number four on the list is Beasley's station, WBZ, in Boston. That station alone does $34 million. What does Beasley do altogether? Maybe even double that? I mean, that's like...
Maybe 100, yeah. let me ask you this. Did you see anything that surprised you in this year's ranking?
No. I think what... Well, I guess what kind of surprised me, but not, was that WSB in Atlanta came in at number 10. Okay, now Atlanta is not a top 10 market. Is it a top 10 market? Anyway, Atlanta's it's a great market, but it's not New York and LA, but they still made the list, beating out lots of big stations in New York, Chicago, and LA. And I think it shows you how much political revenue was washing over Atlanta and the state of Georgia in 2022, and it lifted WSB up into the top 10 at $31 million.
So the business is off 18% from 4 years ago, and right. The prognostication going forward is a slow fade, down a couple of points every year. Is there much anybody can do? I guess that's for another that's a topic for another program, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. They're going to sell more digital, but I think what you see here is that the big, powerful sales organizations at iHeart New York, at Odyssey New York, at iHeart LA, run by Jeff Thomas, who we've talked about before, he's overseen more radio revenue than any other human being in the business history, continues to deliver in a tough environment, although not to the revenue level that they used to have 4 years ago, but competitively, they're still crushing it. Okay,
yeah.
There's not one Odyssey. This is what shocks me. There's not one Odyssey radio station from Los Angeles in the top 10, and
yeah,
that's K-Earth and The Wave and KNX News Radio and K-Rock. You know, that used to be a perennial top 10 station. They're no shows, so none of their stations bill over $30 million. It's amazing how the best organizations are still cranking it out. Whatever's out there, they're going to go get. It's just that there isn't that much more billing out there to go get. So that's what makes it tough.
You know, this next item, Keith, frankly, I didn't expect it. It just kind of came out of the blue the other day, and I went, whoa. Sinclair had announced that there's a regional television station here in Medford, Oregon, KTVL. They were canceling all of their newscasts, laying off the entire staff. Now, this is a Sinclair-owned station, and I've visited the station a couple of times, met the manager a couple of years ago when I was doing some work for WSAB. So, nice operation, market 134, not a killer market, but suddenly then followed on that cancellation of their news department, there were four other markets that Sinclair is completely eliminating the news department: Toledo, Omaha, Gainesville, and Sioux Falls. Now, these are all medium-sized markets for sure. They say the holes are going to be filled by, guess what, syndicated programming. I guess the good news is Jerry Springer is not creating any new programming. Although they'll probably bring back
Jackson,
his old stuff forever.
Yeah, they could run reruns of the late Jerry Springer show.
Exactly.
But you're right. Yeah, it's sad that Jerry's passed away.
Yes, it's sad that Jerry passed away, but it's sad that these smaller markets are losing these news departments. And I guess it comes down to simply the fact that the cost of running a news operation in Medford, Oregon is about the same as it is running a news department in Atlanta, Georgia, or in Chicago, Illinois. And, you know, I realize there's scale. You don't have helicopters and that kind of thing. But still, it's can be a pretty expensive operation. So why are we losing these smaller markets? What's happening, in your opinion, that these smaller markets are dropping their news?
Well, somebody's looking at the bottom line of these television stations and saying, that news isn't producing an audience. And if we don't produce the audience, we can't produce the revenue. So, you know, it's that, you know, balancing act between, you know, what content is generating revenue, ratings and revenue, and if it's not, then, you know, why do the expense? Now, I'm assuming, because Sinclair has its own in-house, you know, news division, right? I mean, they've got newscasts that are going out to all the Sinclair television stations, just like CBS does, or ABC or NBC.
Sure.
So there's going to be news. It's just not going to be local. There's enough happening in Then again, you know, we've talked about how newspapers are just, you know, circling the drain in these same size markets. Maybe it'll just be digital. Maybe they'll have a few reporters doing you know, news stories for the station websites, but not having a newscast.
I think the other thing is there. You know, in a lot of ways, the audience has moved to a news menu where you pick your story lineup. You know, you pick through what you want to watch, and that's really rapidly replacing the longitudinal newscast where you're sitting in, through each sequential story. Anyway, it's kind of tough. We'll keep an eye on those smaller markets and see if that continues to happen, because there's been another big change, and that is that CBS is dumping the CW network from a group of markets totaling almost 14% of the coverage. Now, that's a big blow for CW, who claims 100% coverage. The new owner, Nexstar, is the new owner of the CW, is rearranging affiliations in markets all over the country. But these are substantial markets, Keith. Atlanta, San Francisco, Philadelphia, Seattle. CBS is now dumping these CW affiliations on television stations. And Wendy McMahon made a comment that I just thought, God, she continues to amaze me with her obliviousness. She says, quote, "We look forward to reimagining these stations as independents while leveraging the considerable value of their primetime real estate in each of the markets." What is primetime real estate? Primetime ain't what it used to be, Wendy. I mean, take a look. I mean, CW's ratings, the highest rated show that CW has is a 0.14 rating. Rating, not a share. Their audience for that number one show is probably less than a couple of radio stations in Los Angeles. So I don't know what she's talking about when she talks about the prime. However, there is one thing, and you and I have talked a lot about this. I think you may see these stations competing, CBS stations competing for sports rights that are being abandoned by the regional sports nets, you know, like Sinclair's Bally Sports, that kind of thing. What's your thought?
Well, I think Wendy, if read other trade articles, mentioned that possibility is that you know that they're looking at sports investments and you know we've chronicled the regional sports network difficulties and we're starting to see every week, you know, different teams are picking up, you know, are taking their rights back and selling them locally to local television stations. So I think CBS is going to be a play in that. What I really think is going on behind this deal is that Nexstar has increased its ownership share of CW to the point at which I think CBS is, what, I don't know, 6%, or Paramount is 6% owner of it. That you know, the ownership share has dropped so low that Paramount and CBS, which they own, and Wendy is saying, look, we're out of there. There's no reason for us to have to support a network that we're really not financially committed to or have a significant enough share or stake of ownership in it anymore. So let's move on. And I think, and by the way, they're probably looking at those same numbers and going, you know what? We don't need to clear the CW to get a 0.014. You know, we can come up with some other stuff, like maybe, you know, San Francisco Giants baseball. I don't know. So I think it makes a lot of sense to do this. I just don't think you have to wordsmith your way around telling people what they already know isn't true, which is, hey, it's, you know, it's the ratings suck. We're out of here. We're going to do something better on our own for a lot less money or a lot less inventory that we have to give up. So we're just going to go our separate ways. But these markets, you know, I mean, KSTW in Seattle, I think, was the CW affiliate, you know, or is that who it was? KSTW?
Yeah, KSTW, yep. Channel 11.
Yeah, and you're talking Pittsburgh, you're talking Atlanta, San Francisco, Philly, Detroit. I mean, these are big television markets.
Yeah,
and I think Wendy's probably licking her chops, going, "Wait a minute, we got some this. You know, these are pretty good markets." So while it might not be prime time, literally real estate, this is prime real estate in those big markets, and I think it makes a lot of sense.
All right, I will give you and her that. And since you're the sports dude here at Media Insultant, and you are the sports dude, you know, which is like being the sports babe, except that's sexist. So,
and I love the sports babe. The sports babe was fabulous.
She was fabulous. That's why we called her the fabulous sports babe.
Yeah, didn't she work for you?
She did.
Okay, there you go.
All right, ESPN is getting out of the radio side of sports broadcasting, and we talked about this, I think, a week or so ago, but it suddenly gained a lot of speed. What's going on, do you think?
Well, what's going on is that there's a couple of rounds of layoffs that are taking place at ESPN. Disney-ordered layoffs that are hitting now ESPN, which is owned by Disney. The first round of layoffs hit, and all of a sudden, you realize, wow, these guys are really taking a whack at the radio network. Okay, they've already sold. ESPN sold their last of their radio stations a year ago, year and a half ago, when they finally sold New York, Chicago, L.A. to Good Karma Brands out of Milwaukee or Chicago or wherever Craig Karmazin's working. So they had already sold the stations. So they didn't have any O&O affiliates. They also sold New York, but they had their radio network, the biggest sports radio network in the world. Tons of affiliates. My friend TJ Lambert set them up for life with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of affiliates. They outnumber Fox Sports Radio by a lot. They crush Sports Map Radio by a lot. There's nobody that competes, BetQL and VSIN and all these other networks that are out there orbiting around maybe 100, 150 affiliates. You know, ESPN's up there with what, 400 or 500 affiliates. They just crush it. They own the sports network marketplace.
They do. They do.
From a listening standpoint and from an advertising standpoint, revenue standpoint. So what happens? They laid off their entire audio sales team. They fired two program directors, one in New York and one in L.A., stations they'd already sold, but strangely, they were still paying the program directors.
Who knows?
Even Jerry Del Caliano picked up on my comments on that and saying, how does that work? We're great. These people were programming Good Karma radio stations, and ESPN fired them. We thought they went with the radio stations like normally they do, but they didn't. So there's just a lot of shaking going on, and Jerry took it one step further, which is basically saying he thinks ESPN's going to shut it down. He thinks that's a possibility that they could shut down the network.
Yep.
And I was saying that maybe not because of affiliation contracts or commitments, but I don't think those commitments really matter. If you just shut it down, it's like it's over. We're done. We're not giving any. We're not clearing any inventory. We're not taking in. We're not providing you programming. Bye bye. And that would put a lot of AM stations in a world of hurt. So we don't know what's going on, and we're gonna follow that, and we'll see if those affect programming.
To me, the interesting thing is sports radio seems to work really well in major markets with major sports teams.
Right.
You mentioned Beasley's, WBZ in Boston. Philadelphia's got Odyssey's WIP-FM, and they've got WFAN in New York. I mean, they do really well. But, a lot of our listeners are in smaller, medium markets, and having an ESPN or a Fox Sports affiliation is not of an awful lot of value. In fact, most of those markets end up with Fox because Fox doesn't charge you cash. ESPN still charges some cash, or they did a short time ago.
Yep.
So, I called a friend of the program, a guy by the name of Cal Hall, who's a market manager for Alpha in Amarillo, Texas. And he has started a very successful, or so far successful, station called the Sports Star 102.9. And we just talked to him about, how do you do that in a smaller market and make it worthwhile?
Yeah.
And he had some pretty good points. The first thing they did is they put it on a full power 100 kilowatt FM, not relegated to a class 4 AM in the backwater, right?
Okay.
And then they secured the rights to the local AA farm team. So most of these towns have some kind of a team of some sort. Now, in Cal's case, the interesting thing is the local AA farm team is a team known as, Keith, the Sod Poodles. And the Sod
I've
Poodles.
I've heard of the Sod Poodles, yeah.
They are certainly the most awe-inspiring sports team name in the history of sports, as far as I'm concerned. That's just killer marketing. Anyway, and then he does a really good job with he takes all of his sports, high school, the Sod Poodles. He's got the Cowboys and the Rangers, and ESPN and local sports hosts, and he packages them all up in an annual package. And it's like $1,000 a month or something like that in a market like Amarillo. And he gets them spots in each of those elements throughout the year. And it makes it a lot easier for the non-sports-oriented salespeople to sell. We've all had salespeople who didn't have any interest in sports, couldn't sell it no matter what. So he kind of got around that. And he said, we started off looking for revenue, not ratings. Mm-hmm. And you sell the sex and the sizzle in sports, even today can be a pretty, pretty sexy sell. So if ESPN is on its way out, it certainly could open some new opportunities for syndicated radio in some of these markets, don't you think?
Yeah, I think this would open the door. Really, if ESPN's bagging on, if ESPN's dropping their network, it would mean that things are so bad in network sales, in network radio sales, that it's not worth the trouble. And if it's not worth the trouble for ESPN, how do the guys at Premier sell Fox and do it better than ESPN did it? You know, how do the other rep firms that are repping VSIN and Sports Map and BetQL, that's Odyssey, how do any of those guys go back out to those same buyers and go, hey, we want that money you spent on ESPN? Well, guess what? That stuff we spent on ESPN, that was kind of an add-on for an extra $500 from my TV buy, or another $1,000 because it was all tied into my TV buy. So I gave them, you know, the radio buy. Or you go into Progressive and you go into Rocket Mortgage and you go there and you guys go, oh, yeah, we just took that budget and spent it on something else, you know. Not, you know, we just love the ESPN guys. We didn't really love sports radio. I don't see them doing this yet, but it all signs pointing to ESPN pulling back and going, you know, this radio thing isn't worth it for us. And that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing for the guys that are underneath them in the pecking order of audience and distribution.
I guess we'll keep an eye on it, won't we?
Yes, we will. And the Sod Poodles. How are the Sod Poodles doing this year? Did Cal say?
I didn't check their record, but I'm sure they're cleaning up. All right, Keith, we got a roll here. Media Insultant is a production of InTown Media. We do interim contract management for radio stations. And you can find this podcast on just about any platform. The videos are on Vimeo and the Media Insultant Showcase. New shows get dropped each Wednesday, and we welcome you to join us each Wednesday. Really appreciate it. Had a nice bump in audience a couple of weeks ago. Who knows why? But we love it when it shows up. Keith, let's do this again next week. Until then, you have a great week, buddy. Good to talk to you.
We're on a roll, Jackson. Love it. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great weekend, buddy.